Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, and it's Pride Month, so happy Pride, y'all.
Yes, happy Pride, y'all. Mm-hmm. If this is your first time joining us, Gaze at the National Parks is a podcast where we take one hike in one national park, one park at a time. I'm having a great Pride Month. How about you, Mike?
I mean, I guess it's okay.
It's like, what's going on in your Pride Month?
Well, I just feel like I've only done one parade, and there's so many to attend.
There's
you know?
So many. You have to do at least 6 to keep your card.
I know. Well, I've got a lot of work to do then.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have not attended 6, but I did just go to Provincetown.
Yeah, well, that's that like counts an automatic for 5. Like 5.
Yeah, I know. So my card is checked off.
Great.
So I can still maintain my status as a gay person and a member of the club. Right.
Yeah. What if I see the Cher musical? How many points does that get?
That's at least 3.
Okay. Well, I'll do what I can.
If you cover yourself in glitter and see the Cher musical, all things are covered.
Beautiful.
Great. But yeah, I did just go to Provincetown.
So how was Provincetown?
It was lovely. I was up there with my friends, John and Leslie. Mm-hmm. I always love Provincetown, but I always tend to go not on like the super busy, like high time for gays. Like that's usually around July 4th. This was the beginning of June. And so it was a little more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that's when I like Provincetown more.
Right. The gay tide hadn't rolled in just yet.
Not quite.
I mean, it was low tide.
I actually strolled into the store that I bought you a candle at last time that I was in Provincetown.
Yeah, no gifts this time.
One time. This store is called Adam's Nest. And he is this guy named Adam who has found all of these queer identifying artists on mostly social media, mostly on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so he, in his store, sells their work. But he also has like t-shirts, books, small pieces of artwork. Mm-hmm. So it's not like big, gigantic paintings, but it's like small sketches that are framed and stuff. And proceeds from the sale of that artwork go to a lot of organizations such as the Dream Corps, the Indivisible Civics, the ACLU, the Ali Forney Center, the Audre Lorde Project, Gays Against Guns, Greenpeace, Planned Parenthood, Racist, and Rainbow Railroad, to name a few.
Wow.
So I really like shopping there because I know that when I buy like a portion of it is going to go to a really good cause. Yeah. And that is where I got your candle from last time.
But not this time.
But not this time. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
So this was our second day at Cuyahoga Valley National Park. We had slept that evening in the plastic sheets at this Airbnb.
Of our Airbnb dream home.
How was that experience for you?
If I ever really wanted to know what it was like to sleep on a pool tarp, I have figured it out.
Ta-da.
Mm-hmm. Ta-da.
Pool tarp sheets.
And pool tarp sheets, yeah. Pool, that's hard to say, actually.
It is really hard to say.
I definitely know that I can also just use the bathroom whenever, and it's an easy cleanup. You didn't feel it?
Perfect. Nope, not at all.
No.
Well, not at all.
Good. They did their job.
So we spent the night again, I mean, in this Airbnb, and then we...
I think one thing we didn't say is we're both very tall people, and this bed was not made for tall people.
No, and we were sharing this one bed, and Leah was in the other bedroom.
Right.
Across the street was a Whole Foods 365, which is the specific kind of Whole Foods where they only carry the 365 brand.
Well, sort of. They do have other things, but yeah, it's mostly of that
mostly
ilk.
That, yeah.
It's like a smaller type of store, so...
So we decided we were going to go there for breakfast.
We were in business.
We were, hello.
Hello, so business.
We head over there in the morning before we headed out. Mm-hmm. We were there around like,
I don't know, it was 8, early.
4, 8:30 or
think
something
we
like that.
We were kind to ourselves. Yeah. And yeah. We slept in a little bit.
So we went over there to look into, you know, what we could get for breakfast. There were obviously a ton of options because it's Whole Foods. But then we also realized that there would be a lot of options there for dinner as well. So we were like, we got to come back here for dinner.
Yeah.
So we earmarked that. And we got all of our breakfast food, and then we got into the car.
Yeah. And so I had driven us to the part of the park that we were hiking in. We were originally going to start back at Boston and kind of hike south and then loop back up to Boston, but we decided to start at the southernmost point.
And that was Leah's idea. She was like, why don't we start at the southern end, hike our way up, and then come back.
Yeah.
So then we'll be at the car closer to... You know,
the Airbnb, because
it
and
was
everything.
Only 15 minutes from there.
Uh-huh. And it was about maybe a half hour from Boston store to Akron,
right.
I guess, like where we were staying. So yeah, it was like an easy drive through a lot of like neighborhoods, like really cute neighborhoods. And
oh, yeah. I called Akron, Ohio, Bel Air.
The Bel Air of Ohio.
Oh my God. Like some of the homes were so huge. And they were gorgeous with like enormous gates in front of them. I was like, oh, they're serious.
Yeah.
This is real.
Mm-hmm. Sickening.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we made it our way to Hunt House, which it was the spot that we were starting off at.
Right. Which is like a farmhouse. And there's like a restroom there and there's like a market, a farmer's market right there too.
That's on the corner, not as affiliated with Hunt House though.
Right.
Right. You know, the whole weekend there was a threat of rain and we got the rain on Sunday.
We did. We got the rain on this day.
Yeah. And it was like kind of like a little torrential at first and we were prepared for what we needed to do, but we kind of did sit in the car for a little bit and just kind of strategize.
There was another reason we sat in the car for a little bit, and that was because one, yes, we were strategizing, but also like these three super hot dudes, all shirtless, had just like gone for a run in the rain and we're literally just standing in the parking lot right next to our car, like stretching and chatting, like at the end of their run. And we're like, we're just going to sit here and, you know, be near this while this happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Near, far, wherever you are.
Right. So. I think it was like a father and two sons.
Right.
They all were very beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
So get on with it, girls.
Go Akron.
Go Akron. Like, you know, you're just nailing it.
The Bel Air of everything.
Exactly.
So, Leah had also run to the restroom too. So we were kind of like waiting. But then as we were gearing up, the rain kind of like filtered out and
it
like kind of stopped a little.
Now,
which was
to describe sort of where we were, like, or what it looked like. We had, we were in this parking lot, which was next to the
towpath.
The towpath, which the towpath is Cuyahoga Valley National Park, is like a north to south kind of park. And it's like a sliver of land running north to south, and running right down the center of it is this towpath. And there are all these other trails that wind around and intersect with the towpath occasionally. So it's always sort of like an anchoring center point for any path. The previous day we had done the part of the Buckeye Trail and some of the towpath and also the Brandywine Falls Trail. But today we wanted to do the Valley Trail, which the Valley Trail and the Buckeye Trail were sort of covering similar areas, except they were far enough apart that like the Valley Trail felt a little longer and felt like we might be able to see a little bit more landscape.
Yeah. So they were kind of both meandering.
We decided we wanted to do the Valley Trail. So from where we were, there were just like vast open green fields around us and a couple of little farmhouses. And based on the map, we were going to have to walk around a field. And
although
then,
we kind of thought we had to walk through the field.
We did like it first, but a little bit. Cuyahoga Valley with the signage,
right?
They were always good with their signage. So we knew that we had to walk down the road, then turn around the field, and then walk to the other end of the field. And that was where we got on to this path that started to make its way through the woods.
Yeah.
When we turned that corner, because we basically walked down one road, there was another road, then we could turn right or left, and we turned left to follow down the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a cornfield,
It may have been a cornfield. I think what you're thinking is the sign that we saw had a corn mascot on it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It did. And the sign that we saw for this field was in Comic Sans. Now, I just want to say something.
Dusty's favorite.
It is 2019. And Comic Sans was cute for like a second in like 1995 when suddenly like Microsoft Word became a thing and like kids started writing their own reports
on Mavis Beacon does typing.
Right. Comic Sans is in no way a legitimate font. It does not make anyone take you seriously. It does not look soft. It does not look fresh. It does not look low pressure. It looks like you have no idea who you are.
Right.
So if you are someone listening and you have ever considered Comic Sans on anything,
we have a hotline that you need to call.
Yes, you can call 1-800-STOP-COMIC-SANS. Mm-hmm. We will help you through that decision making.
Yeah,
literally any other font is a better idea than Comic Sans.
Even papyrus, and that's
even papyrus. My goodness, yes. But you know what? Like, ain't nothing wrong with a good Arial or a nice Times New Roman. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and I know they might welcome to the stage, Miss Arial Font.
Arial Font. Yeah. Oh, seriously. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was like, well, I can't buy anything in this field because they just lost a customer with this Comic Sans.
Right.
So we make our way around the field and then we find sort of the entry point of the Valley Trail. Yeah. On the other side of this field, because the Valley Trail did go on. We were jumping onto the Valley Trail just in from Hunt House right here.
Right.
And so we started to make our way through. And it is a pathway through like tall grass, through trees, through, there's a lot of vegetation around, but you're making your way through vegetation essentially. Yeah. When we entered this spot, it was really muddy.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of footprints.
There were also a lot of like wildflowers too. That was one thing we noticed the day before, because when we were on the towpath back, there was a part where we could have jumped on the Valley Trail for a little bit. And it was, that's where you were like, oh, it looks like the English countryside, because it was like,
oh, it was
entering to my secret garden. And we were like, no, we're going to do the Valley Trail tomorrow. So it was like a lot of vegetation, a lot of high grass. I think we were all at that point like, better get the bug spray out. And we like deed it up.
It took, I don't know, like 3 minutes before we were like, we need this bug spray. So we got out the bug spray. We covered ourselves in the bug spray and we kept going. It was still really muddy.
And it, like, the weather didn't know what it was doing. So it kind of rained a little bit.
It was
here
like
and there,
rainy, and then it was hot, and then it was cool, and then it was hot again, and then it was humid. Like, weather was all over the place the whole day. But we're making our way through this muddy section, and that basically leads us to just some general wooded area that was a little less muddy. Like,
but
it wasn't muddy the entire time.
No, no.
But this valley trail, I noticed, it felt like a trail most of the time, but then sometimes it just felt like walking through fields.
Right.
And anytime a field was involved, you were walking through like extremely tall grass.
Right.
This gave me pause because I don't love snakes, but snakes love tall grass.
Right.
So I was definitely had my eyes peeled the whole time.
Things you didn't tell me as I was leading the group.
Well, I don't like snakes.
I think what gave me pause was ticks, because ticks are like, you know, freak me out. But I had my spray that I had put on my clothes, which I'd brought for you. And did you use it?
Oh, yeah. We all did. Yeah. We all used the tick spray. Which the tick spray, you do not apply tick spray to your skin.
No.
You apply tick spray to the clothing you're wearing.
Or
and you do it
bags
ahead of time
or whatever.
And bags, the things you're carrying.
Yeah.
And that keeps ticks away.
Yeah. So, we did, like, we kind of wound through all those, like, open kind of grassy fields. We eventually hit, like, more of, like, an open kind of mowed field. It almost felt like someone's backyard.
It did. There was a fence.
Yeah.
And there was a backyard and a house. So
there you go.
And I mean, this is the first time I had ever experienced a national park that was, like, there are homes here. Then people live here.
Yeah. Yeah. But then eventually we just were in the woods. Like, it kind of dumped us into the woods, and we were like under a canopy of trees for a little while.
And that was where we saw Bernadette Peters.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And the baker and his wife, like, you know, looking for the...
Mm-hmm. The cow is white as milk. The cape is red as blood. The hair is yellow as corn. The slipper is pure as gold.
I knew I could count on you
there
for
you
that.
Go. So. But yeah, that like dropped us into or close to another set of trailheads. So after kind of meandering through the woods for a little while, we came to the road, which we had to cross. And then that dropped us into a parking lot, like as we crossed. And that, I believe, was the Wetmore was the name of the area. There was like a big signboard, and there were a bunch of trailheads from this parking lot.
Oh, right.
Called Wetmore.
Oh, the Wetmore. Yeah.
And how do we forget a name like Wetmore?
They had a bathroom there. Like an Eartha Pit toilet. I mean,
which I did use. Yeah.
However, there wasn't a light in there, so it was just all darkness.
That's right. So you sang there's a light over at the Frankenstein place
while
you were in there. Yeah. Precisely. Leah and I had a nice heart to heart outside too. And we were just like so excited to be A, together, and B, she was like so stoked to be with us. Things I didn't tell you.
Right. Well, secrets. I mean, I figured. I mean, because the two of you are friends from college.
Right.
Leah and I have forged our own friendship thanks to you.
Yeah.
So, and then we saw two guys in that parking lot head in the other direction.
Yeah.
So we continue down the trail from there. We're still on the Valley Trail. But I think in this moment, didn't the Valley Trail and the Buckeye Trail were like the same for just like a second?
I don't remember if that was the case. I feel like
that happened a couple
along.
Of times. Yeah. But anyway, we're following the Valley Trail from this parking lot. And this is now less like mud and less high grass. And now we're just in woods.
Yeah.
There was a lot of woods here.
Yeah. We, you know, that was a part where, we were kind of meandering through those woods and that wooded area. And it was a little ways. And then we kind of came out again. And we had to cross a small stream. There was that bridge there.
Yes.
So there was like a, just like a small, it wasn't even like a highway bridge, but it was a road bridge. It wasn't tall, but we kind of crossed right near that and to the other side and then sort of ended up back in the high grass again. So
we did.
This trail oscillated a lot between, you know, woods and high grass.
Yes.
And it was what it was. I don't think any of us were particularly loving it.
No, I think you were. I was the only one wearing pants this day.
Right.
I was wearing my ladies' pants from the ladies' section. I mean, they're not ladies' pants. They're pants. I bought them in the ladies' section of Dick's.
Yeah, don't engender pants.
No, pants don't have gender. Mm-hmm. So
in the Spanish language, though, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure in many languages
right.
that assign gender and nouns gender, which is ridiculous, but whatever. You were in shorts. Leah was in shorts. I was in, they were a capri pants, but I also had like high-waisted socks on.
High-waisted socks.
High-waisted,
please
whatever.
Tell me about the design of these high-waisted
anytime,
socks.
Anytime. I guess they were knee socks, I guess we'd call them. Mm-hmm. So
I had my waist socks on.
I had my waist socks on. Are you wearing, are those the Chanel boots? Yeah, they are. The Chanel boots.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
They are.
They look good.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Sari.
Mm-hmm.
This is now we've descended into the Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
But We're making our way around this now high grass again, and it gets a little muddy here, but then we discover a picnic table.
Right. And we're close to the road at this point, because I think you kind of had like peeked up and you were like, okay, let's see what this is this way.
Because we weren't sure if we needed to head off to the road and hug the road, or if we were just walking by the road. Well, and I will say that the map was really attempting to be accurate,
right,
but sometimes you were walking along the road and on the map it looked like you were further away from the road, and then vice versa.
Right. And I do have to say, the thing about the Valley Trail is there really weren't any sort of markers. Like the Buckeye Trail was, I mean, like,
there are only, and this is Cuyahoga Valley, right, though, there are markers when you absolutely need them.
Right, right.
And so as soon as you might feel confused, there is a marker.
Right.
But there's not just like markers along the way.
It's not like the blazes of the Buckeye Trail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's like the bridges of Madison County for Ohio. The blazes of the Buckeye Trail.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The blaze. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, we hit this picnic bench and you're like, you know what? It was actually in tall grass, but you're like, let's sit and like snack for a little bit. And we're like, we can sit on the top of the picnic table and just put our feet on the bench part, so right, that we weren't like actually sitting in the ticky grass probably.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as we were sitting there, we started to hear some rustling behind us.
And some bleating.
And some bleating.
I pronounce the
and T. Can you make the bleating sound?
Nah. Nah.
That's like a sheep.
Well, it was kind of like that.
Well, I guess goats do bleat. Goats and sheep bleat, but it wasn't a goat or a sheep. No. It was
a baby deer.
It was a little baby deer.
Like the tiniest deer I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, and the thing was, you could see it really well through the grass.
I do think you freaked out because you thought I saw a snake or something, though.
Oh, I did freak out because you were like...
I turned around really quickly because
you were like,
was the closest like, to it.
I think I might have hit something or somebody, and I was like, what? What? You were like, it's a little baby deer. And yeah. I was like, okay, let's not, you know, scare the pants off of ourselves, please.
Yeah.
So we turned around and there it was. Like, and it was looking right at us. And it was like a infant deer.
Yeah.
Like this deer could not have been more than 3 days old. Mm-hmm. Our immediate thought was like, oh my God, is mama deer around? Is she going to hate us for being this close to this baby deer?
Right.
We did take some pictures. And by that, I mean, we kept our distance and took some pictures using a zoom feature because we did not get close to that baby deer. But that, I mean, generally speaking, the little baby deer was only about like 5 feet from the picnic table.
Oh, yeah.
But it was covered in high grass. So,
yeah,
you know. And if you see a little baby deer, don't touch it.
No.
No, just don't touch animals out in the wild. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
But you ever did some research post-trip, and what did you find out?
I did. Funny enough, because, you know, the internet is listening to all of our conversations.
Right.
Literally, as I was scrolling through Facebook, it was an article about how it is baby deer season.
Oh.
What that means is that most deer are born in late spring, early summer. When they're born, doe usually give birth to like one or two deer. That's about it. Like it's rare, but sometimes it's three. What happens is they leave these baby deer alone all day.
Mm-hmm.
And they either come back at dusk or dawn with food. So they go out and search for food and get food all day long. And then they come back and they bring it to the baby
McDonald's
deer.
And Taco Bell.
Exactly.
Right.
But they leave the baby deer in high grass so no predators see the little baby right. deer. So come to find out, mama would not have been around at that time because she's out, grocery shopping.
Right.
And she's coming back later. And, you know, letting, you know, the village that is nature take care of little baby deer.
Yeah. And that was some fascinating factual information.
It was not too long after we, you know, saw this little baby deer and did some snacking, we continued on through mostly high grass at this point until we finally hooked back up with the road.
Right.
And this was a moment where I couldn't tell on the map, like if we were supposed to like literally be on the road or be near the road. It looked like it was spilling right onto the road
yeah.
on the map. So we just walked along the road.
I think we were also tired of the tall grass. So we were
So yeah, we were like, let's give ourselves a break. And we were like tick checking the whole time.
Yeah.
So we're walking along the road and then And then we come to this part in the map where we are near this, what was a golf course. And it looked like not a maintained golf course. Like it once abandoned. Was a golf course, now it's abandoned or something. And I don't know, maybe like once a year they come back and clean it up and spooky it's operational. I don't know, but it was a little spooky abandoned at this moment. And it looked like we had to like cross parking lot and then walk through the golf course to get to this other area
that would hook us back.
That would hook that would so that we could continue on the Valley Trail.
Right.
But we were faced with a problem in that this golf course had all these signs all over the place that said private property, do not enter.
Right.
And with that, let's take a break.
Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
What game are we playing, Mike?
We're playing Television Boyfriends.
Ooh.
So
how
this
does
is
this
a game
work?
That we played on the trail a lot where we would like offer up a show and you had to pick between the men on the show as to who your boyfriend would be.
Okay. Great.
Great. So we did this, Leah, Dusty, and I did this on the trail a lot in Cuyahoga. So the show that I'm presenting to you is the show Friends. Of the three male leads, who is your television boyfriend?
Mm.
And explain us.
Let me ask you this question, a clarifying question. Is the character my boyfriend or is it the actor?
The character.
Oh, the character.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think, Friends? Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to pick...
Chandler Bong?
No. I'm going to pick Paul Rudd's character who married Phoebe.
Oh, all right. Well, sure. I'll give that.
I want to pick that one. But if I have to pick of the three guys.
Right. Ageless Paul Rudd.
I'm going to pick Ross.
Ross Geller.
He's
David Schwimmer.
A paleontologist, right? He's super smart. And we would both geek out about dinosaurs. Right.
Right.
Okay, great.
And he had that monkey, Marcel.
He
right?
did.
That was the monkey's name.
That was Marcel the monkey.
Yeah,
on his shoulder.
A show I didn't really watch that much of.
I mean, I watched it, but I'm not a like. They're
you're
insane,
not an office level
fanatic
super fan.
People who love that show who can't breathe without that show, and that is not me.
Yeah.
If that show were not available on a streaming service tomorrow, I would not even know about it. Okay, great. So you're a television boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I present to you Boy Meets World.
Oh. Well, it was definitely like the, what was his name? His friend, not Corey, because everybody told me I
Rider
looked like
Strong.
Freaking Corey as a kid. They were
really?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those were lies. They were telling you lies. You don't
when I was
like
8 or 9, when Boy Meets World was popular, they were like, you look like, which Savage brother is it?
Corey Savage.
Corey Savage. No. Corey was the character's name.
Whatever. It's
his
not
name
Fred
is.
Savage, because Fred Savage
it's
was
not
Wonder
Dan
Years.
Dan Savage, because he's not related.
No. Dan Savage, our queen mother.
Right.
No, I'm talking about Ben Savage.
Ben Savage. Yeah.
Ben Corey
they
Savage.
They told me I looked like Corey Savage. Ben Savage. So it was probably Ryder Strong or Corey's brother's friend who was Ryder Strong's brother on the show, who was one of the Lawrence brothers.
Oh.
And it was probably
that was Matt Lawrence.
Matt Lawrence. Whatever his character was.
See, I would have picked Corey's older brother. Who was kind of, you know,
he was like a goof.
He was a goof, but he was super cute.
Matt Lawrence's character, whatever it is.
Matt Lawrence.
Remember.
Matthew Lawrence.
He was cute.
He was.
Yeah.
And that's Television Boyfriend.
Television Boyfriend. So we had to make a choice on what to do. And at this point, no one was really keen to head back onto the Valley Trail, especially if it meant crossing into, like, you know.
Oh, no, no, no. I was. I was like, well, this is what the map says.
Oh, I
so
think
so let's
was,
just trailblaze. I and you I'm, were all like, oh my God, but like, we're going to get in trouble.
Right.
And I was like, okay,
this is
whatever.
Like nervous Libra me. Yeah. But I also knew that Peninsula, the town that we were kind of, was sort of not like a midway point, but like more of a, like a three quarter of the way point, was literally down the road, and that we could get on the Buckeye Trail from there. And I think that really informed a lot of us into being like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit of a cleaner walk. Like, yeah. We definitely knew exactly where we were heading.
Right.
And can I tell you, like, this trail really revealed something to me. Mm-hmm. And that is that I can't stand litter, but I really can't stand litter in a national park.
Right.
It makes me crazy. And so along the road, there were like
some beer cans. Twisted
and yeah, we
cans.
Definitely picked those up. And Leah was kind enough to just like
carry them
in her
bag.
And
they kind of leaked even though we
poured
them out.
But I'm like, you know what? Don't throw your beer cans on the side of the road ever, particularly in a national park, but ever. But we were walking down this road or up this road, essentially, because we were headed north. And we end up in Peninsula, which Peninsula is a tiny little town in the middle of Cuyahoga Valley. Mm-hmm. And church was letting out, like all these people were coming out of church and getting into cars. We couldn't figure out if it was a wedding or not, or if people were just dressed for church. And it looked like it was just Sunday.
Yeah.
They were dressed for church.
There was definitely a girl in white. And we were like, oh, this is in poor taste.
Oh, is this the bride?
We were like,
oh, yeah. She should not have worn that if this were a wedding.
Right.
Unless she is the bride. But she's casually leaving this. I don't think she was.
No.
Right.
So we had a little bit of time had passed, too. And since the last time we snacked with our friend, the baby deer, and we really only had like maybe a granola bar. So we like sat down on a corner in town and kind of just like reassessed where our next move was. And like also where the Buckeye Trail was so that we could kind of catch up with that. And so we snacked a little bit there, and there was like a really great like sign or two in town.
Oh my God. There was a
like
literally
down the street that said it was supposed to be like blank, comma blank, comma blank, but it just read as liquor dancing. So we like had a field day with that. What do you think liquor dancing is?
It literally said Peninsula Nightclub Liquor Dancing. And liquor is the biggest word on the thing. What is liquor dancing?
Just Saturday night.
I guess it's just, it's Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we, according to the map, like the, we knew we were going to have to get on the Buckeye Trail for like a hot minute to find the Valley Trail again.
No, I think we just decided that we were going to stay on the Buckeye Trail.
Well, at that moment, I think we knew that we had to take the Buckeye Trail to meet up with the Valley Trail, but that we hadn't like fully decided, are we going to stay on this Buckeye Trail the rest of the time, or are we going to jump back onto the Valley Trail? I think that we were still sort of up in the air about that.
Okay.
But we knew that we had to get back on the Buckeye Trail somehow, some way.
Yeah.
So what was clear on the map is that the Buckeye Trail was going through what essentially was now, you know, this tiny town.
And like neighborhoods.
And a neighborhood. And we like went through a whole bunch of streets and we were like, we don't see it.
And it's so
well
marked.
I don't see it anywhere. And yeah, and they have the blue blazes.
Right.
And we just couldn't find it anywhere. So Leah was like, why don't we go down to the depot? I'll use the restroom. You can ask somebody about this.
Right.
And then I went into this little store, literally called Trail Mix. Mm-hmm. And I asked them and they were like, oh yeah, it picks up right here. And so they were like, it's just around the corner and you have to walk down the road. So we all regathered together and then we noticed the Blue Blazes were on the telephone poles. Right. So we had just missed them because we were like looking at this cute little town the whole
and
time
like
while we were
looking
walking
at trees and not thinking about telephone poles.
Exactly.
So yeah, so we like headed down, back down kind of like the main drag of Peninsula and passed a few houses and then had to go up this like driveway.
It was a driveway that became a brick driveway. It looked like a private driveway, mm-hmm. but it was actually a public throughway.
Yeah, but then that eventually just became like
an abandoned yellow brick road is what it looked like.
Uh-huh.
It looked like overgrown in the way the yellow brick road looked overgrown in Return to Oz.
And when we were actually sitting out on the street corner, like snacking, we had a truck pass us and they had asked, oh, do you know where the trails are for the park? And we were like, well, the Valley Trail is somewhere to the right and the Buckeye Trail is like straight ahead, which is what we thought. And they were like, okay,
well, that
thanks.
Is what you said. And I was like, I think he just wants to know where to find trail information. Right. So I was like, just go to the Boston Store Visitor Center and they will tell you everything.
So, you know, we're hiking in the woods. After a while of hiking, we started to hear like screaming. And I was like, what is that?
We like, did. And oh, there was also like, I forget what we were talking about, but suddenly we realized that there was like a person like
right
15
us.
Feet yeah. behind us. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my God, like we didn't even know you were there. Mm-hmm. We were like sharing like
personal information,
deeply personal information mm-hmm. with each other, just mm-hmm. sort of about past relationships and past trauma and all those kinds of things that mm-hmm. come with, you know, being a person.
We played truth or truth.
We did play truth or truth. Right. We did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we noticed that this person was behind us. And then, yeah, we did hear screaming. Mm-hmm. We were like, what is the screaming like? Like, it's not funny to scream this loud in the middle of a park because it sounds like someone is in distress.
Right.
So we noticed the sounds were getting a little closer to us. It was also a little uphill at this point.
Yeah.
The Valley Trail was mostly flat most of the time. And then we got on the Buckeye Trail and now we're dealing with like uphill, downhill again.
Yeah.
But here come these
people and
these three people and they were from the truck.
Right.
And clearly they were like, had come to use the trail as like a running workout training situation mm-hmm. because he was like barking training things at them and they were doing them.
Yeah.
So that was what the screaming was about. Yeah. Still not totally appreciated.
No,
I do want everyone to have, you know, physical fitness in their way.
Right.
But we have to remember that, you know,
there are nervous people on the
trails. They're nervous, right. And also we don't want it to sound like, you know, people really are in dire need.
Right. But yeah, the rest of the trail for the Buckeye at that point was, it was actually really kind of nice. Like we were in the woods for quite some time, but this was like different from the earlier part when we were on the Valley Trail. It was like a lot of tall pines. I feel like it just felt like more like quiet in a lot of different ways.
Very
like,
serene.
Not that it wasn't quiet before, but it was, I think because we were in the deep woods, it was just more serene, like you said.
Blue blazes on mm-hmm. trees that we could, you know, follow. Those blue blazes were so well marked and so consistent mm-hmm. as long as you, you know, kept your eye on where they were.
Yeah. And, you know, after a little bit of time, we ended up dipping down closer to the water.
It felt like this section was a little bit long. I think we were going to have to walk like 3.6 miles from Peninsula to the Boston mm-hmm. Store Visitor Center. And like we had already previously walked like 2.5 miles. So we were a little like, oh, we have a daunting task.
Right.
And so it is what it is. And so we were walking, playing lots of games along the way and having lots of great conversation that was helping the time pass.
Yeah. We definitely got a little turned around at one point, and it was mostly because I think we were talking and not paying attention, despite the fact that everything is super well marked.
Right. So are you talking about the path or the moment that at the fork where we were like, wait, which direction do we go?
No, when we were down by the stream and then like we banked to the right and we should have actually crossed the stream.
Oh, yeah. We did do that. Yeah. But we figured that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were a couple of switchbacks right there that we had to do.
Yeah.
Right. Just like to go uphill. But yeah, that particular walk from Peninsula to Boston felt long.
Yeah.
We were finally getting like, okay, all right, come on. Right. Yeah. There was a section where we got near a major highway.
Was it 80?
I think it was 80. And we had to exit the woods and walk along this bridge that crossed 80. So we do that. And then we had to veer off again into the woods to the right and continue there. Mm-hmm. And now we're back into the world of mud. And now we're back into the world of like some tall grass. And we were like, it's still like a mile and a half.
Yeah.
So we keep going and we keep walking. Finally, we like it takes us right.
We come down like a little bit like, of a hill.
And then
there is a path because there was a woman walking.
Takes us to this open path intersects with another path.
Right. And I tried to go to the left because there was a signpost just to kind of see what was going on. And you and Lee were like, no, it's this way. Like you had kind of peeked
because
around.
We were looking at the map because I thought we still had a ways to go. And Leah was like, no, we're here.
Yeah.
This is where Boston is. Yeah. And this is where we're standing. And I was like, oh, praise be. Like that was a long trek.
Yeah.
We have to go underneath this other very tall major highway that's like built over the towpath. Because we essentially like take this little way and take this paved path that was there and connect with the towpath.
Yeah.
And so once we get to the towpath, we head to the right. And that took us right to the Boston Store Visitor Center where we were the day before.
Yeah. And we like had made a promise to get ice cream because there was like a store there.
Exactly.
And we couldn't do that the day before because it was closed.
And with that, let's take another break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for Drag Queen Corner.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage,
Donna Poncho.
Right. You know what? It's raining outside. Mm-hmm. I think I might Donna Poncho. Mm-hmm. Right. Who is Donna Poncho?
Donna Poncho.
She's a mom queen.
Oh, she is a mom
queen. She's like an elementary school mom type mm-hmm. queen. Mm-hmm. But not like a 1950s housewife kind of queen. She's like a mid-90s kind of like, I know how to like save money, like, and I know how to be resourceful kind of like soccer mom queen.
Yeah, I also feel like she's definitely like a little new earthy, new agey, and her lilt, like she tilts that way a little bit.
Interesting.
Like kind of like really short pigtails in her hair. A lot of like striping in her outfits, horizontal striping.
And where are you getting this from?
I don't know. I just feel this like maternal Donna Poncho energy.
Oh, and so she has sort of like earthy, natural maternal instinct too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, like she has an iconic look that is totally made from recycled ponchos.
Mm-hmm.
But I think her whole idea is recycling.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
she can like take a poncho and make it fashion.
Yeah,
like she doesn't have to wear a poncho every time. I mean, no. Ponchos are not just like rain ponchos. Like,
no,
they are actually a capes. Fashion statement. Ponchos, capes, yeah. Right? So, she just has a way of doing
to
it
to a skirt,
and I feel like her ponchos can be transformative.
Mm-hmm.
But that like she's known for her transformative poncho looks,
mm-hmm.
but. She doesn't have to do them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She like saves them for when it like really means something.
Oh yeah.
What is the song that Donna Poncho lip syncs to?
I have a few.
To? Oh, what do you think?
I feel like Umbrella by Rihanna.
Oh, good.
I also feel like It's Raining Men by the Weather
immediately
Girls.
Immediately what I was going to say.
Yeah. I feel like either of those.
Here Comes the Rain Again by the Eurythmics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can there be a mashup of all three of
Absolutely
those songs?
Absolutely there can be.
And why haven't we started to do this already on our computer?
I know, for
I
real.
I know.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it's happening, folks.
So,
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage,
Donna Poncho.
So we got ice cream at this store.
I think it was a trail mix store, actually.
It was the trail mix store. And I was chatting with the lovely lady working at the counter. And I had told her that we had done the Valley Trail. And she said, oh, yeah, that's the horse trail.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that makes
bum, 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 bum.
So much sense with all the high grass and with why it was always so flat. Like,
and all
was
that mud
horse
that was
trail.
Looking like it was piles.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We bought some Buckeyes there too, which
we
are like
did.
Peanut butter filled chocolate balls,
they
which were
sore
real good.
Grid.
And then we got some real good, like homemade, I think it was frozen yogurt because they had ice cream, but I believe we got Froyo.
Oh, yeah.
And Leah got like actually like good humor thing.
She did. And then did we split a like cookie dough? No, we split like a cookie dough with pretzel situation.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
It was good.
All very good. So we refueled and we knew that we were headed back down on the towpath.
Right.
Which I was excited about because I was like, we know exactly where the towpath is headed. It's going to be, you know, sort of similar terrain the whole time.
Yeah.
So we, you know, get our bags and we head down. We head out onto the towpath.
And we did.
It was like cement for a little while. And
we crossed some boardwalks. It was like a really wide boardwalk trail. We had been on some boardwalks
really
the day before.
It was really close to the water. So like if it flooded, you would not be able to walk down that towpath.
No.
So.
But yeah, it was kind of nice to be there. And that was like really probably the most open part of the trail at that point. We did, when we were like started to walk a little bit more, realized because we had a separate map from the main map that we got from the visitor center. The ranger had given us like a specific map for these two kind of days of hiking because it was like a recommended set of trails. We realized that we were going to be hitting a number of different locks on the towpath on the way down. So
and
it was
these
kind of
locks,
a way for us to keep track.
We'd mentioned locks before, but I want to be clear. These are spelled L-O-C-K, not L-O-C-H, which L-O-C-H is the Scottish word for lake, sort of like Loch Ness monster.
Mm-hmm.
But these were locks along the canal that would
help to raise and lower the water level for boats traveling along the canal.
Exactly.
Right.
It would like lock off the water for a second. So that's where it gets its name.
But yeah, eventually like we're not in open air anymore. We're very much so under a canopy of trees for most of the rest
the
of...
The greenest, most beautiful trees.
Yeah, you told a few stories that I hadn't heard about, like, a very traumatic Wizard of Oz experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't experience it.
No, I know, but...
It was my friend's child was in a production in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and they used a real dog for Toto, which that's always like
a risk.
A risk. I mean, only use a real dog if you're a professional company who's working with a professional dog. There are literally dogs that make careers out of playing Toto and Wizard of Oz. So you hire one of them, and the handlers know what to do, and that dog can anticipate every single scene because it's done it before. But yeah, they used just somebody's teacup Yorkshire Terrier, and they were skipping across the stage and tripped, and smack, that very poor dog met a very awful fate. And so, yeah, that did happen. And
I could tell that story. I never heard before, even though you swear up and down.
I have told that story a lot to a lot of people, but I guess not to you.
Secrets and lies.
Whatever.
Right. But yeah, I mean, the nice thing about the towpath was we were able to see all these different locks and basically have like a really sort of relaxing trip back down to the Hunt House. There was a point where did we see a snake that day, or was it the day before?
It was the day before we saw a snake. There were no more snakes on the towpath that day.
No, there was a snake on the towpath that day.
Oh, there
like
was.
Much further down.
Oh, that's right. You saw it.
Yeah.
And I was behind you.
Yeah.
And then you had turned around and you were like, snake right here.
Right.
And I was like, great. So I just like ran like a fairy, right by it.
You actually levitated above it, I believe.
A little bit.
Yeah.
In the same way that Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether come into the castle on their entrance in Sleeping
Make it
Beauty.
Pink.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like the towpath was just like a really relaxing sort of way to get ourselves back down to the Hunt House. We pass back through Peninsula again. And at this point, we are like, we cross like a pretty major bridge, like over kind of like the confluence of a bunch of water, it seems like, because there was some turbulent water there in Peninsula. And it was like the other side of town from where we had entered earlier in the day. And that was like interesting to see how much the water was like just moving and grooving there.
Right. And when we made our way across there, we still had like a mile left, I think, because now more than that. So it was like, it was closer to 2.5 miles at that point, because we had made it from Boston to Peninsula, which did feel like a long walk. But then we had an even longer walk back to Hunt House.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, just kind of made our way pretty quickly and seamlessly back down.
We did. I mean, it was mostly the same thing we were seeing on both sides, which was canopy of trees. Occasionally there would be a field. Then there would be like, you know, river and canal.
Yeah.
And then there might be a little house.
Yeah.
There might be a little like way to get into a neighborhood. Yeah. But it was a nice, lovely flat walk.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, it started to rain.
It did. Yeah. Right as we were
kind of like
in the last like quarter mile.
You know, the day began as it ended.
It ended
as it began.
And so we made a complete circle all the way back, literally. And the rain joined us on that complete circle.
Here comes the rain again.
That was the end of our hiking in Cuyahoga Valley National Park this day. However, we definitely want to share with you one other thing that happened.
It's not the end of our journey, however.
It is not the end of our journey.
No.
So, as we had mentioned earlier, we had gone to Whole Foods.
Right.
And we were like, we're going to come back here for dinner.
Yeah.
And so, we did. We got back in the car, and we headed right back to that Whole Foods.
Right.
It was only 15 minutes away.
We all kind of split up once we got inside to do what we wanted to for dinner.
Right.
Yeah.
I had made a trip to the restroom.
Surprise.
I'm in the restroom. And while I'm in there, this young guy like barges into the restroom. And like, I mean, it looks like he was like his own kind of tornado. Barges into the restroom. He's wearing this.
And by young guy, you mean like,
I mean,
like college
mid-20s,
age. Yeah.
Like maybe college age. He's wearing like khaki shorts, Sperry's, and like a button-up
shirt.
Very
opened button-up
and,
shirt.
But he had like 5 buttons open in the center, right? I could tell like he clearly went to the gym, was pretty muscular, and his hair was just all over the place.
The salient details, folks.
I'm finishing up and I'm going over to wash my hands. And he is just like staring at me in this moment. And I can feel that he's staring. I was a little taken aback and I was like, I think something's going on with him and I don't even want to like
engage.
So I wash my hands and he kind of takes the social cue and he heads over to one of the urinals. I'm headed out the door and then he like keeps turning back and looking at me as I'm heading out the door. It's very weird and very strange, this interaction that happened in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I meet you and Leah at the tables after we pay.
Right. You had already told me what had happened.
And I told you what had happened.
Right.
And then I'm telling Leah what had happened. Now, meanwhile, this guy is making his way through the store and is like picking up things and then putting them back. Then he went and got a cart and then riding the cart like a five-year-old. He gets to this one point and I'm telling Mike the story and I look over and he's staring at me again. And then he's staring at all three of us. And then he starts staring at somebody else. On and on it goes. We are talking about this and talking about how ridiculous this is. And then Leah gets a sort of better eye on him. And she's like, oh, he is like
high
on something, yeah. High on some kind of drug. Other people in the store are starting to sort of notice this.
Oh, it was like the biggest spectacle.
He collects whatever it is he's going to buy. And he goes up to the register to purchase. And the associate working the register, she was like a young woman who just was very clinical about her entire experience with him. He paid for it. And there was definitely like a moment of like, had to remind him that he had to pay for it. And that's when Leah mentioned, she's like, yeah, I think he actually thinks he's doing really well right now. Like, in his sort of experience of what is happening.
Yeah.
So he gets all of his stuff in bags and he's making his way out the door, but he's like dropping the bags right and left. And everybody's
remember he had the cart.
No. He was he got out, he left the cart at the register. He got outside and put everything else into a new cart.
Oh, that's right.
And then we can still see him from where we are at the tables near the front of the store.
He is running like breakneck pace across the parking lot with the cart.
Yeah. He's running to his car,
right,
which was a sort of black Chevy Suburban situation. He gets there. 10 minutes, he's just standing there.
Then he takes off his shirt.
And now he's like shirtless.
Stretching.
He was standing between the two cars. We could not tell if he was just had his shirt off or if he had no clothes on.
Right.
Couldn't tell. So he's like doing stretches in intermittently putting his groceries away. And then he goes to get behind the wheel of the car. And we were all like, oh God, no. This is not a good idea.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, maybe he won't drive the car away. And then the car starts.
Right.
And that's when we were like, no. We have to call the police. And we did call the police.
And Dusty handled that like a pro.
And as he drove by, he managed to somehow drive out of the parking lot onto the main road. And as he was driving down the road, you know, like by this time I had contacted the police and gave them the license plate number and told them where he was. But his car was completely...
It was like a bomber.
...smashed in on the side. And I was like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the end of our Ohio adventures.
And then we recorded it very late and got up early the next morning to drive home. The end.
Okay, let's put the Valley Trail on the Karen Stone scale.
I am going to say that the Valley Trail for me is a 4. And the reason I'm giving it a 4 is more for the annoying factor than for anything else.
Like, yeah, I would give it a 4 too. It's not strenuous and like, oh, it's so steep. It's like actually pretty flat the whole time because it's horses. It's made for horses, but
not that horses can't
climb. The high grass and the mud, it did make it a 4. Yeah. So it gets an 8 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Buckeye Trail? At least the southern part of the Buckeye Trail.
The Buckeye Trail, for what we were on it, I feel like that could maybe be like a 4 or a 5. Like, I feel like we were just, again, I think that was more like...
I'm actually going to give it a 6 because there was it was long and there was a lot of uphill on that section.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it a 6. You're giving it a 5.
Yeah.
So we're looking at 11 Karen Stones.
Out of 20.
Yeah. 11 out of 20. And then finally, the towpath.
Is a 0 out of 0.
Yeah. I might give it a 2.
Yeah.
Only because of how long it is.
Yeah, but I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You argued tooth and nail with me about something where I was like, oh, I think it should be this. And you're like, no, it's just a path. So I'm interested to see your
tune change here. It is just a path. It is just a path.
Yeah.
Like the actual, there's no strenuousness involved in the actual physical path.
No.
But if you do go on it for a long time.
Yeah.
Then yeah, but that's anywhere. So
and a lot
I get
of people
it.
Choose
it's
to
a
bike
0
it,
out of 0.
You know,
there's
is,
a lot of
it
biking
is like
on
a
it.
Very much so biking path. So yeah,
there we go.
There we go.
It is time for Jeopardy. Mike, why don't you start us off with your category today?
Great. As per usual, my category involves phraseology or idiom because
ooh.
It's my favorite and I really like to narrow that into my corner. So my category is called Valley Girl. And for
great.
Valley Girl, you're going to be naming a specific physical, real, or fictional valley based off of a Valley Girl's description of it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So get ready for some accent work, people. Ugh, Bethany, I can't even believe that, like, you thought this would be like a good place to get a boob job. Unless you want some nerd to solder like green square itty bitties onto you, I suggest you take your business elsewhere. Also, girl, just because we're on the West Coast doesn't mean you can just drop your New York accent and try to fit in.
What is Silicon Valley?
That's correct.
I mean, are they confusing it for silicone?
Yes. Bethany, where was it we were supposed to turn? Well, I don't know. That Russian or Italian guy you talked to at the gas station wasn't much help at all. I know he kept trying to get you to come back to his house, but I make a stand against ranch-style homes unless there are actual horses involved. Plus, all you would end up doing is undressing and he would just dip out on you. Typical.
Oh my God.
So the keywords I want you to listen
Russian
to.
Russian and Italian.
And then this type of home.
What is a ranch? Hidden Valley Ranch?
That's correct. It's Hidden Valley. What is Hidden Valley?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I thought that immediately, mm-hmm. but yeah. I was like, okay.
My accent worked.
Why Hidden Valley?
Why Hidden Valley?
Yeah.
Why not Hidden Valley?
Italian.
Because
dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm with
I know.
You now.
It was like a deeply laced clue.
That was, yeah.
I know.
Okay.
And you did it. You did it.
I got it.
You know. Valley Girl for 300. Oh, I know, like, I'm supposed to be comforted by the fact that my grandma lived a long life or whatever, but I'm mostly just totally bumming that Nana can't be here on this holiday. Bethany, do you remember when you were sick in the 90s and she learned the word to Gangster's Paradise for you because you, like, quote, said, like, Coolio is my favorite? I'm gonna miss her.
Oh my God, Dangerous Minds is the movie where that mm-hmm. Gangster's Paradise came from. Mm-hmm. Is it high school? Is it like...
It's a line from the song and it's also a Bible verse.
Oh, hold on. Then it's... what is the Valley of the Shadow of Death?
That's correct.
Got it.
This is like a tricky category. I know this.
Yeah.
Valley Girl for 400. Well, I just assumed like this would be a cool place to take our niece for her 8th birthday. She loves American Girl and Barbie, but apparently this is more of like a superfan's attempt at loving a book/movie real hard. Poor Christina is scared for her life like now. Like therapy for sure. It wasn't even a toy museum, Bethany. It was like an homage to prescription pills or whatever. Like sick and not in a good way.
What is the Valley of the Dolls?
That's correct.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm so glad you got that.
You know how I know I'm gay? Because when I was like 14, I was like...
You love that movie with Bette Midler?
No, I never saw the movie. I just wanted to read
the book.
Do you
know how I know I'm gay? Is because I love that movie with Bette Midler.
Great.
There you go. I'm sorry I interrupted your gayness. What were you saying?
No, I found the book at Barnes & Noble and I was like, I want to read this so much. And I did, and I loved it.
Okay. Valley Girl for 500, the last one. Being a mom is tough, Bethany. Like, real tough. Having to pick up Cassidy after school really, like, interrupts my afternoons or whatever, and I have to run across town from the mall to get her. Last week, this hag on the school board or whatever parent organization accosted me about getting more involved in school functions. I looked her straight in the eye and I said, if Dolly Parton has taught me anything, all of you involved parents are total skeezes and need to figure your lives out. As if.
Oh, what is Sun Valley? What is the Valley? What is the, I mean,
it's a Dolly Parton song, but it was actually sung by somebody else originally.
Oh,
it's on Jolene.
Oh, I don't know.
I know. This is why it was the $500 clue.
Was it the Green, Green Valley?
What is the Harper Valley PTA?
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You got four. All right.
I got four.
And I know
Harper Valley PTA. Listen, seriously?
It's a great song. You should listen to it.
Oh, damn. All right. Fine.
Great.
All right. It's time for Sade. My Jeopardy.
Sade Ballard over here.
That's fine. Call me whatever you want. I think you're going to like this category.
Great.
And I have to give credit where credit is due. My mother called me and was like, oh my God, I have a Jeopardy category. Mm-hmm. My mom, not so secretly, absolutely loves when you get super frustrated with one of my Jeopardies.
Oh God, Gloria, she's just the
like,
next time I
oh
talk
my
to
God,
her.
She was like, she was like, give this to Mike. I think he'll find it pretty hard. But anyway,
Gloria,
I will say this. One of the clues, it was literally written by her. It took me a minute, but I got it. Mm-hmm. So I'm, and I've tested it out on a few people and they have also gotten it. So I'm mm-hmm. curious if you got it mm-hmm. or if you will get it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it is not an early clue. This is called One Letter Changed.
Great.
So what you're trying to do in this is figure out what is the new phrase mm-hmm. based on the definition, but know that the phrase contains two words and the words are basically the same except one letter has changed.
Okay.
And therefore, they're two different words. So, for example, if I were to say, the breath of relief you take after reaching the peak of a mountain mm-hmm. would be a what?
Phew?
No, it would be a high
pitch?
Sigh.
Oh, high sigh. Okay. Oh, it's a rhyming thing.
It's not all rhyming
okay.
all the time. High and sigh are basically the same word, but just one letter has changed.
Oh, I gotcha.
The
gotcha,
H and the
gotcha,
S.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
I do now.
Okay, great. Now you got it.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The $100 clue. The small bag that a computer criminal grabs on their way out the door.
A tracker hacker?
Close. I was looking for hack pack.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was close.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. 200. To do this is to hold a blade of green vegetation tightly in your hand.
A grasp clasp?
Okay, to...
Grass clasp?
Okay, the first word is correct.
Okay.
Then change one letter and you get what? To grasp grass.
Okay.
Does that
Got
make
it.
Sense?
Yeah.
Okay, it's just one letter change.
Okay.
It's not rhyming all the time.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Are I you want ready? It to be, though.
Okay. Well, it's not. This is not I rhyme know. Time.
I know.
Okay, here we go.
Gloria's done her job. Michael is frustrated.
300. This variation of a simple machine would be used by the Shakespeare heroine Catherine with her Phillips head while avoiding being tamed during act one.
What is screw shrew?
Yeah, what is a shrew screw? Right, mm-hmm. perfect. Okay, moving on.
I got it.
Okay, 400. This is literally the act of looking in the direction of poop.
Something feces?
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking in the direction of something. Okay, change one letter in the word feces and what do you get?
I'm having a hard time here.
What is... Faces, feces.
Got it. Disgusting.
It is. And now for the $500 clue. This is literally the one my mother wrote.
Okay.
And I'm not changing it. It is exactly as she told it to me.
Beautiful.
A respectable guide.
A respectable guide.
Correct. It helped me to think of another word for guide first.
Sherpa. I just want to rhyme everything.
No, nope, it's
I hate
not
this
a rhyming
category.
Game. Mm-hmm.
I just want to rhyme. I give up on this one. I'm sorry, Gloria. You've done your job.
What is a decent docent?
Got it.
Anyway, and that is one letter changed. You were thoroughly stumped. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks, and email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original artwork on Instagram is by Michael Ryan. We would also like to acknowledge, while hiking in Cuyahoga Valley National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Potawatomi people.